Amen. So we've been talking over the last few weeks about faith and the supernatural, an invitation to more, right? And so we've talked a lot of stuff, and we've been talking about faith for the last few weeks. We've been talking about planting seeds. We've said that the greatest faith person is not Tim Tebow. It is a farmer. Farmers are the greatest people of faith because they plant the seed, they leave it in the ground, and they believe what's going on with that seed, that something is happening even though they don't see it. Amen. And so that's what we do as people of God and people of faith, is we believe that God is working and God is moving even when we don't see him. And so and we want to continue that that thought this morning, because we in our house, we have been planting a lot of things, planting flowers, planting plants, planted some watermelon yesterday that's been growing in our big pot. Now we plant it in the ground. And so we've been just growing stuff, haven't we, Julie? We got our first started getting blueberries. They've been amazing. So, but we want to continue. And the thing about planting is a lot of it has to do with the soil. Everybody say soil. And this is part of the thing that we haven't really touched on, but Julie and I were talking, and my wife actually spoke at a small women's thing this past weekend. And we want to just continue kind of with some of those thoughts of planting. Julie, you want to put out the, okay, yep. So let's go to Matthew chapter 13 and continuing this message of a supernatural life. And actually, Julie's going to come up. I'm going to read the scripture, and then Julie's going to come up and do the majority of, quote unquote, the heavy lifting this morning. So I'm excited to hear from Julie. It says later that same day, Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. This is from the NLT version. It says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered them across his field, some fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was so shallow, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun, since they did not have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone who hears, with ears to hear, he should listen and understand. And then, that it? Okay. And then his disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they do not see. They hear, but they really don't listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that said, when you hear what I say, will you not understand? When you see what I do, will you not comprehend? For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, and their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear. Their hearts cannot understand. They cannot turn to me and let me heal them. That's good? All right, Julie?
All right, you guys. So you can just sit there right there. Perfect. Thank you.
Good job.
All right, so here we have, I brought this just as an example. These are four different, I was going to set it on the stage, but I'm going to try and put them on the table here so even the people online can see it. So these are four different types of dirt. This is fabulous Georgia clay that is packed down. I was not kind and did not mix good dirt in with this, as we all of us who've ever tried to plant anything in our yard know what a terrible mistake that is. And so there's the first one. This was the second ground that Jesus talked about, which was dirt, but it was shallow with like rocks underneath. Then the next one that Jesus told in the parable that David just read was good dirt, but there's weeds and stuff that are growing up with the plant. And then here's the last one, yay, with good dirt, right? So we're going to have these four just right here so we can just keep an eye on and just get a visual for what Jesus was trying to say here. And so stony, packed, the result was the birds came and ate the seed. This one, shallow, and when it began to grow, it when the sun came out and it got hot, it withered and died. So actually this one, I removed the plant yesterday because the poor little thing was really struggling. And I felt, I had my little plant mama heart was like, this is unfair. And so I tried to rescue it in time. And so I planted it in some good dirt and I've been watering it. So this one is empty. And then this one is the one that's with the weeds, things growing up that could choke it. And then this is the good one. Okay. So as we go through and we read this parable, so, oh yeah, you can see the weeds. There you go. Okay. So there's clover. Do you guys hate clover in your yard? It's like the enemy, isn't it? It's the devil in clover. And so, so as I've read over the years, most of you have probably read this parable and you're familiar with this picture that Jesus gave us. There's the first part where Jesus tells this story. And then there's this kind of long discourse that he says, starting kind of like at verse 9, that I've always, quite honestly, I don't like. It feels unfair. And so the justice meter inside of me is like, I don't like that, Jesus. And sometimes I go, I'm just going to pretend like that's not there. And I'm just going to just keep reading, because I like when Jesus tells the key of the parable. I like, I'm all about that. But in the middle, I'm like, I don't like that. And so the question is, and the verse I'm talking about is verse 11. And so it says something that seems very harsh. Jesus replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not." I want to know, you know, like, do you all want to know? Like, I feel like that's a club or something, you know, that like, that's not fair. That is not fair. Right. So, but the question is, when Jesus says things that we don't agree with, everything has to do with how we respond to that. So when Jesus says something or God says something and we think we're like, no, that's not right, or I don't agree with that, or that doesn't fit in with my worldview, then do we ignore it like I kind of did for years? Do we just, you know, just pretend like it's not there, skip right over it or whatever? What do we do with that? And really the right response is to say, all right, Jesus, I don't understand this, but you're right and I'm wrong. But you know what I've discovered over the years is many times if I ask him, help me to understand this. First of all, I yield to him. Second of all, I ask him to help me understand, like give me understanding about this. And you know what ends up happening is he does. And this incredible truth comes out that is like, that changes everything for me. And guess what? I become more like Jesus. I become more like God. So let's dig into this little part right here in verse 9. We're going to go back and Jesus says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now, many times we are so bad about this, where we will take a scripture and we will take that one scripture out of context, like out of all the other things he was saying, and we'll take that and we'll kind of try to bend it to say what we want it to say, right? And actually we all get mad when like the news does that to people. And if you've ever had that happen to you where someone took one thing that you said and kind of bent it to say what they said, it makes me mad. Like, you know, don't do that. That's wrong, right? But we do it all the time with the scripture. And so here Jesus is saying something that we are to read in context of the thought that he's building. And he's saying something to us. There's a reason this is sandwiched right there in between, because it feels almost interruptive. It feels like, hey, let me tell you a story. Hold on a second. Now we're going to talk about this, and now let's get back to the story. But it's not. It all goes together, okay? So let's look at this. Here in verse 9, he says this. Anyone, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like a club. That sounds like an invitation, okay? So anyone, he says, anyone. That means that we don't have to be on the outside. That means we are invited to join this group where Jesus says has understanding. We're invited to come in. So when you're invited to something like Dylan and Holland Shower, where you guys are all invited, we decide what we're going to do. Are we going to RSVP? I'm going to show up. Are we going to say, oh, darn it, I wish I could, but I can't, you know, I can't come, but I'm going to send a little something. Let me send a little something because I want to show them some love. Or are we going to be like, oh, I'm going to show up and I'm going to bring something. Like I am here and I am vested and I am all about this. The same way when Jesus offers us this invitation and he says, anyone, it is up to us how we are going to respond. Are we going to see like, nope, decline, I'm too busy. Are we going to say, oh yeah, I'll show up. I'm going to show up and I'm going to bring my best. I'm going to show up and be a part of whatever is happening here, Jesus, that you want. So he says, anyone who has ears to hear, his disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables? And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. Well, you know what? Those disciples, they all gave up a whole lot. They were following Jesus. To be a disciple meant that you were ascribing to his teachings. You were saying, I am choosing to be like him. So their lives were changing. The way they responded to things were changing. Their belief system was changing because they were becoming disciples of Jesus. So they, because they had already taken that invitation to hear. They were already part of that group, right? So that's why he said, you are permitted. You are permitted because they responded. They said, I will RSVP and I'm going to bring something to this thing. So you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. And those who have an abundance of knowledge, but those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away. Whose responsibility is that? God being mean? Whose responsibility is it for us to hear and to understand? Everybody take your finger. Point it right at yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's my fault. Kind of hurts, doesn't it, to admit it? Some of you, it's been a long time since you've said that. You need to say that more. It is my fault. It is our responsibility. If we want to be in this club, if we want to be part of Jesus' disciples, if we want to be the ones that hear and understand, it is on me. If I don't hear and understand, it is on me, right? So, even what little understanding. So this is why I use these parables. And he quotes a scripture from the Old Testament. They look, they don't really see, they hear, but they don't really listen or understand. That word hear, they all would have known that word hear had like a packed in meaning that they all would have understood. That isn't just hear like, hey, are you listening to me? Listen. I told you that 3 times. Are you listening to me? That's not what he's talking about there. That word is that and then more. It is hear and obey. So it's not just hearing. It is hearing and obeying. And they all knew that. So if you look at this passage right through here that he says, count how many times he says hear. He says hear quite a bit. And when you read the scriptures, When the same thing repeats, it's a pattern. It's kind of like he's like, so you read it. Now he's underlining it. Now he's highlighting it. Now he's circling it. Now he's bolding the letters by each time that he says it. So the important thing that he wants us to get is that we need to hear. But they all knew that doesn't, like in our culture, we can hear, but we can just be like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, you know. But that was talking about you hear and you obey. So here, this fulfills the prophecy that Isaiah said, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. You will see what I do. You will not comprehend. And then what is it? What's the problem? For the hearts of these people are hardened. That almost makes me think about, it's like it's connected. This is like, it's right here. This is the hard packed dirt that Jesus said, right? For their hearts are hardened. Their ears cannot hear. But you know what's wild is for this one, that it says with the rock underneath, this one, the birds come and this one, the sun burns it up. And so this one, the birds come and eat, the sun burns it up. Okay, so we're going to talk about that in just a second. Their ears cannot hear and their hearts cannot understand. They cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So if you read that, go home, read that, and look back to where Jesus said and look for the same ideas and words. And this is not a pause. This is not a break. This is not a, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten to say this earlier, so let me just say this now real quick. This is all the same thought. And all of these guys would have known these passages from Isaiah, and they would have understood that Jesus is talking about something really important here that they've been waiting for. All right, so now we go to verse 16, and Jesus says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they did not see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now, and then Jesus is so good. He just says, all right, he doesn't do this for all the parables, but for this one, he does. Let me explain this one to you. So it's really clear. All right, this is in verse 18. He says this, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath, right here, this one, represents those who hear the message about the kingdom, but don't understand it. They don't have understanding. They don't understand it. What happens? The evil one, our enemy, comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their heart. So it doesn't even get to begin to really grow. This guy right here, actually, we cheated. We bought these just like last Monday at Walmart, these watermelon plants, and put them in the dirt. But this poor guy just couldn't even though it was already a started seed, it just couldn't even make it in this dirt. And I promise you, I did water it. I wasn't like forcing it. Like I gave all of them the same sunshine, all of them the same water, but he just did not make it, right? So the evil one snatches the seed on rocky soil. Represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy. You're like, yeah, oh, amen, that is so good. Wow, you should have heard what Pastor David said this morning, or have you listened to this message? Let me share this video with you. Oh, it's so good. You receive it, you get it, you're like, reveling in it. But then what happens? But they don't have deep roots. So it didn't last long. It falls away as soon as, Jesus says it, they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. You have opposition. That opposition, like we don't really suffer a lot of persecution. Like what we think is like, you know, people who really like people in other countries that, you know, are controlled, that's persecution. But persecution in our lives, we could look at that as opposition. So sometimes it may just be in your own mind, your own heart, that you have some opposition to what God is telling you to do. Maybe that opposition is some comfort. Maybe that opposition is someone else's opinion. Maybe that opposition is something else, but that is opposed. And then what happens? The sun comes and it dies. It's all the same seed. It all has the same potential for life. It's all an even playing board. But again, whose responsibility is it? It's mine. The condition of my heart is my responsibility. So here we have the hard. Here we have this. Then we have this one, the next one. And the next one, Jesus says this. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns, I didn't really have thorns, clover was as close as I could come, and I think it got a little dandelion in there. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those that hear the word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. Now get ready, this is going to hurt. It hurt me, and it's going to hurt you, but it can be better. We can be better. Okay, crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. So, we understand worries of this life. You know, I understand worry, concern, thinking, all that stuff. Lure of wealth, I understand that. I want to be successful. I'd love to make loads of money. In fact, I would love to just win the lottery. Just give it to me. You know, like, I promise God I'll do good with it. You know, like, this is it. You know, just, I mean, I feel it, right? And so, but we could dive into this and really, like, think about, like, many times we need to think about who Jesus was talking to. Jesus was talking to people that lived in villages. They had their lives. They had their roles. They would be the carpenter. They would be the brick mason, the stone mason. They would be the farmer, the goat guy, the sheep guy. They would be they all had their roles, and their roles were passed down family, generation to generation to generation. Then it wasn't, they didn't even have banks back then. They definitely didn't have cell phones. They didn't have like all of their banking, and they could see all of their liquid assets like right through the scroll, through logging in by your face. Like, they didn't have any of those things then, right? So the lure of wealth was even more than just like, it was like you pull out of your community, you pull out of what God had, what had created, where you were thriving and you were a member and you were giving and you were receiving and you were caring and you were loving and you were, this is where you belonged, and you would pull out to go seek something else, right? So you have something else you're seeking that's pulling you out of where you kind of should be, right? So what does that look like in our world? I mean, we know we got the worries, we got the lure of wealth. That's a thing. It's a category. But I was like, Jesus, if you were speaking this little key to the parable right here to me right now in my life, what would you be saying? Like, you know, because they didn't have, like I said, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have telephones, you know, they didn't have cable TV. Like, those are like two technology leaps ago, you know, like, they didn't have cars. You know, most people didn't even have a horse to ride. Like, they walked everywhere. They, you know, their lives were so unfair. They didn't have air conditioning or indoor plumbing or dishwashers or washing machines. Like, they didn't even have like water that ran through pipes. I mean, they started doing the aqueduct thing, you know, but like, that didn't come into people's homes. You know, they'd have to go somewhere and get like buckets of water and bring it back. And that's what they would drink. And, you know, all this thing. They didn't have any of that stuff. So their lives were so unfathomably different than ours, right? But what do we have, Jesus? What's rising in my life and choking out what you're trying to do and keeping me from being fruitful? That's the question. So like, I was like, what is that? And, you know, we get so distracted. We have so much noise, and we've talked about this before. Like, we have so much stuff, so much busyness, so much like stuff that like has come up even in the past generation, you know, of like the past 10 years of like the rise of all the, you know, social media and the rise of Netflix, you know, like we can watch. I remember when we had to wait for the Sunday night for the Disney family movie to come on, because that was our only option. Like, there weren't even VHSs then, you know, like, which you guys, some of you guys don't even know, though, VCR things, you know, but like, it was like it was a different time. So now we have so much information. We have so many options. We have so many things telling us what to think. We have so many things trying to get our focus. Like, here, look at what that person is doing. Oh, you're not convinced. Let's look at what Johnny Depp is doing. Let's see how him and Amber Heard are doing. You know, like, let's follow this. Let's go here. Think about this. Think about this thing. Think about that thing. In fact, let's just think about the poor Ukrainians. Let's just think about that. Let's think about this thing. Let's think about that thing. In fact, when you have extra time, let's think about all the other things, you know? In fact, let's think about these fictional stories. Let's think about what Star Wars is going to do in the next 2 years. Let's think about what this is going to do. Let's think about that. So you know what we have? Our minds are full of things. And what's happening is it's growing and it's choking out and making us unfruitful. I'm telling you, this is Jesus said this. And it's almost like he knew. He knew that come 2022, you know, 2000 something, something years later, he knew this would be where we would be at, because the human heart, it's the same. They had distractions they had to deal with too. They just had different names. They weren't whatever couple inches by a couple inches that fit in our pocket and traveled with us everywhere we went, never gave us a moment of peace. You know, like, it was like they had distractions too. They just went by different names. But the problem is we're not pulling out this stuff in our life. We're not weeding the soil of our heart by changing what we do. Because you know what? This is what everyone's doing. This is what we all do, because we're humans and we're here and we're alive and we're alive at this time. And we're so happy to have technology. Like, you know, I wonder, like, hey, what, you know, whatever, how do I propagate blueberry bushes? I just Google it on my phone, which I conveniently have in my pocket, and I can know right away, you know, like, it's just such a great tool for so many things. But for so many things, it is choking out the fruitfulness in our life. So again, whose responsibility is it? Mine. And then lastly, there's the one we all want to be, right here. We want to be here, right? We want to be fruitful, because this one yields fruit 30, 60, 100 times what has planted. That's amazing. So, but this soil, this fertile soil that is tended well, you know, so a couple of years ago, David was like, we're going to compost. We're going to compost. And I was like, we're going to compost. So you could buy these nice compost bins that are like $200. And we're like, we are not $200 compost people. You know, I'll just say that right now. Like, amen, amen. We were talking about that. Like, we don't have $200 spent on a compost bin, you know, that you have that cranks itself. No, no. We are $5 compost bins, because we got a tub. Actually, we didn't even buy a tub. We got one from the garage, and we poked holes in the bottom of our big tote and put it on some bricks and started putting all of our kitchen scraps in there. So we put in all our kitchen scraps, and David did some research, and we had to mix in some sticks and some leaves. We asked Sharon, and Sharon coached us on composting, and you have to mix your browns and your greens. And like, we started doing it and we're working it. And so you're mixing all the right things in together, and then it started to get smelly. So David was like, Sharon, it smells really bad. What do we need to do? And she's like, oh, here, you need to do this. And you need to add a little more of this or whatever. So then we're doing it, and you have to stir it. So we're stirring it, and it gets it's smelly. It's hot. In fact, we were like, where should we put this? We need to put it somewhere convenient, because you know, you got to take your kitchen scraps out, and if it's too far away, we're not that committed. Okay. And so like, we're committed, but we're like, I don't know. It needs to be like a 45 second walk committed. Okay. So it was, and maybe not having to put shoes on. Okay. Like, so we were committed, but not that committed. But then we went, so we put it there, and then we're like, oh, it starts smelling. Like, nobody wants to be around that when all that's happening. Right. So we put it there, put a lid on it. You know, David's putting some worms in it. We're like getting a stick and we're stirring it every so often. It's starting to get really hot, and it's doing its thing. It's hot. You take the lid off. I mean, and it didn't stink too bad, but it was, you know, not fragrant. It's not rose bushes, you know, like it. And so he's there and he's stirring it. And then we come, and I don't know, a couple months later, couple months later, we look at it, and you know what it is? It's this. It's good soil. It was good dirt. But the process, first of all, just keep this in mind. It was a bunch of stuff that we threw away. It was a bunch of stuff that we had already taken the good stuff out, and it was the discards that we put in there, right? Then it got really smelly, not pleasant to be around. And then it started to get hot, uncomfortable, right? But the product of that, the result of all of that process was this. It was good soil. So you may not be perfect. Your life may be full of a bunch of real difficulties. You may have gone through a lot of stuff. You may have a lot of things that other people have discarded, or even you have discarded because it was difficult. It was painful. You can't even see the value in it. That those scrapings from the carrots that we threw out there, the strawberries that had started to mold that we threw out there, we had no value for. But it was valuable. And so the things in our lives that we think are trash, God sees it as, let me do a little something there. Let me make some good soil out of this stuff that you want to throw away. But I guarantee you, it will be smell. The process is smelly. It's uncomfortable, but it produces fruit 30, 60, 100 times what was planted. And if you read all the way through, Jesus talks. His language he talks about is fruit. He talks about being fruitful. It's a big deal. This is important to Jesus. This is what we do. We are to bear fruit for the kingdom. So, in closing, it says this, verse 23, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word. It ties right back into what he said before. We hear and we understand. Is that an exclusive club that you can't belong to? Nope. We all have the invitation. We all have the invitation. We can even go from this to this. We can go from this to this. And we can go from this to this. It is on us.
Yeah. So good. So good. Come on. Okay. Wow. Here's your Bible. I had a young man I was mentoring, and kind of struggling in life and struggling with different things. Had been through a lot. And whenever I would meet with him, I would ask him one question. I would say, what kind of man do you want to be? What kind of man do you want to be? Really, I knew I was going to do that. But the question is for us, right? And then, because I want to be this, but sometimes I want to be this. And I had to make a choice. What do I want to be? What kind of person? So I think, you know, what's going on in the church in America today? I believe God's asking that question. United States, what kind of church do you want to be? Because we can shout it. We can shout it from the rooftops. Speak out against all the stuff, which we should. Say things that are uncomfortable. Yep. But yet we have this stuff kind of growing in our own. And then we wonder, like, why isn't the church producing fruit? And so I believe that this is a moment for us. You know, I know it, and I said it about the United States. I think it's a moment for us as a church. What kind of church do we want to be? Are good friendships all? Are relationships all? Big part. I want to be a church that's fruitful. I want to hang around with people that are fruitful. We multiply and we grow and we, are you struggling in your faith? Well, man, welcome to the club. Let's all get together and encourage one another and believe in one another. And there are times when I'm this, but there are times when I'm this. And let me tell you, this is better. The fruitful life is better. My identity life is better. And all of these things that we've talked about faith, these are all seeds that have been, like, just for instance, being confident of who you are, your identity. People who know who they are these people. They don't let other stuff crowd in around them. The people who are full of faith and people who are full of, you know, Kenneth Hagin said it for years. Faith has always been of the heart. It's of the heart. Faith is not of the mind. It's of your heart. So the condition of your heart to receive all that God has for you is super important. And so for us, and for you and for me, what does that look like personally? What does that look like? What does that look like for my normal daily life, right? So when it gets messy. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to I'm going to have the worship team come back up. We're going to fix this so that y'all can do your thing. But I'm also going to ask Rachel and Nick, why don't y'all come up? And Rachel and Nick are going to serve communion. And I can't think of a better time to maybe we want to reconsecrate our lives back to Him. And whatever that looks like to you, right? It all looks different. We're all in different places in our walk. And so let's all, everybody stand. Let's all stand. We've been sitting for a while. And I know we're going to take a little bit of time. Okay, I'll do that. So as they begin to play, meaning that. So as they sing, I want you to, you can come on, go ahead and come down. What we do is we come into the middle, get served, and then go out the side. So y'all are welcome to go ahead and start.